Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Hyper IgM podcast. In today's episode, I have a conversation with a fellow survivor, Idan. Idan is 11 years old, in 6th grade, and lives in New York. He is a two-time transplant recipient like me, and we dive into the ins and outs of living with Hyper IgM and our experiences going through transplant. Enjoy the episode! Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of our Hyper IgM podcast. I am your host, Ezra Feynman, and today's guest is Idan.
Hi.
So, before we get into it, for our viewers that don't already know what Hyper IgM syndrome is, Hyper IgM is a one-in-a-million rare disease that causes a person's immune system to not function properly. People with Hyper IgM are unable to make antibodies, which means that if they get sick, they may have a really hard time fighting off whatever they got sick with, and they can become very ill. Hyper IgM patients are also at a very high risk of developing cancer. Without a stem cell transplant, life expectancy for a person with Hyper IgM is less than 30 years old. So, now jumping into our interview. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Idan. Like, do you have any hobbies or, like, what do you like to do in your spare time?
So, I like reading, and I like building things, making things. A lot of the stuff that I can do during my free time.
I love building stuff as well. Cool. Yeah, it's great to have a big variety in stuff you do. Do you play any sports?
I play soccer sometimes, not too big on it, but sometimes.
Mm. Yeah, me neither. I don't love sports either. All right, so do you, like, remember exactly when you really became able to grasp the idea of what you had? Like, I know that when I first, like, really, like, grasped the idea of having such a rare disease, I was probably, like, 7 or 8, maybe. Like, I never was really able to, like, fully comprehend it because it was just, like, my life before then. So, like, I never really knew that I was, like, that I had such, like, a rare thing. Like, what about you?
When I was, like, little, like, when I was, like, 3, 4, 5, I knew I had Hyper IgM.
I didn't know what it is.
I didn't really know what it was until I was cured. And I was going to school, and then I finally understood it more.
Yeah, I feel like that was the same with me, because, like, I don't know about you, but, like, when I first, like, went to school, or not went to school, just, like, when I first, like, was being able to leave the house, like, I'd always wear, like, gloves and stuff to, like, protect myself from getting, like, sick, because my immune system still wasn't fully developed. I don't know if that happened, if you did the same thing, but I definitely remember that.
I didn't really do that. I'm more like, I wasn't really allowed out of the house, and if I was, I wasn't allowed to see or be in the vicinity of any other people besides my family.
Yeah.
So I didn't really have to.
Yeah. And do you feel like that, like, experience kind of, like, brought you closer to your parents? Because I feel like spending, like, all of my earlier, like, childhood, like, just with them, like, not only made me closer with my parents, but I feel like it also gave me, like, better social skills in a way to talk to adults, because I feel like I was around, like, so many adults during my, like, early, like, life, like, when I had a transplant, which we'll get into later. But do you feel the same way at all?
Yeah, like, I'm a lot more comfortable talking to adults than I am. Well, it's changed recently, but, like, when I was first going to school, I was only comfortable talking to adults. And when I saw a kid, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I felt the same way, really. And, like, it comes in handy now, too, like, talking to, like, teachers, if you know what I mean. Like, I have an easier time. Like, some of my friends, even, like, going over to people's houses, will be, like, scared to talk to people's parents, you know? Like, it's like, oh, like, but I don't have that kind of fear, which I guess that could be a positive when talking about transplant.
Yeah.
And before we get into what a transplant is, all that, not what it is, but just like our experiences with it. We have both had hyper-IgM, but besides from us, have you met anybody else that has had hyper-IgM or is still living with it?
So sometimes I go to some conferences and I see a couple other hyper-IgM kids. I never really had a close connection with any of them, but like once in a while I see a hyper-IgM kid.
Yeah, I really haven't. I don't really have much experience at all with meeting kids. I've probably met, besides you, like one or two other people that have had hyper-IgM. So, yeah, I feel like I don't really see. Well, it makes sense. It's a 1 million rare disease, but I haven't really been around much. So I know that you had a stem cell transplant when you were 4, just like me, really. And you had 2, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had 2 as well. My first one failed to take, and my second one luckily did, which is the same for you, which is even rarer than us both having the same thing, which is crazy to think about, really. So we were both really young when we had our transplants, but do you remember anything in specific from the transplant? Like, I know, like, I remember, like, what my, like, vaguely remembered what my, like, room looked like the kind of setup of the room. It's kind of blurry, but I'm pretty sure I remember it. Do you, like, remember anything?
So, for my second transplant and my first, I went to Seattle for. So, I remember going to Seattle. I haven't been since. I remember going to Seattle. I remember my hospital room, and I also remember the day, because my transplant day was the day before my birthday, before I turned 4. So yeah. I remember my birthday there, and I remember that I was still like frail and sick afterwards.
Yeah, I remember I had a birthday in the hospital as well. I remember I got this like rocket shaped cake. I kind of remember the cake a bit. Yeah, but like that's really it. I don't like remember anything else, but in terms of like the actual core transplant, but I do remember some of like, even though being in the hospital was like terrible and really sucked, I do remember like some like positive stuff, like memories from the hospital. Like I remember I went into the bathroom in the inpatient section with a bottle of Coke and I put Mentos in it and blew it up in the bathtub. I definitely remember doing that. It went like all over the thing, all over the bathroom. So like, do you remember any like positive stuff from being in the hospital?
I remember that they had these like tricycles there. So I used to ride them around, and I used to get like these prizes every time like I did like 3 laps around the floor or something, since they weren't really active.
Great way to stay
exercised.
Active, yeah. It's a great way to stay exercised. Great way to be active, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any tricycles. I didn't get that. So do you have any? I know I definitely don't, but maybe you do, since we were so young. But do you have any memories, like what it was like before transplant? Like I definitely don't, but
so I have. Actually, I have exactly 2 memories from before my transplant.
Okay. 3 memories. Alright. 3.
I remember I remember the day before we left for a transplant when my parents told me, oh, we're gonna, not the day before, but like the week before. My parents told me that we were gonna go soon. And then like they told me what was gonna be about. And then I remember when I was younger, when I was like 2, I had 2 memories of 1 building this thing that was in my house for a while. And 2, I remember running around my house. But besides that, I don't have any memories before that.
Okay. Yeah, I have literally nothing. It's a blank slate for me. But after, I think, well, we did really talk about this before, but just going back to this, like right after transplant, was there anything else you want to talk about with your like lifestyle restrictions? Like how I mentioned with like I had to like wear gloves and stuff. Actually, something that I remember is that they used to like close stuff down for me so that I could like go to certain places. I know that I went to like a movie theater that was empty and it was like just me and my family, which that's pretty cool, honestly. I mean, people that didn't have Hyper IgM don't get that. Which I guess is a pretty big positive. I mean, comes with something bad, but it's a big positive. Like, do you have any memories of that?
That happened a lot to me. Like, I remember I once went to the Intrepid and
so
I
got
a class. I got a special pass to go when it was closed.
Yep, and so did I. I remember that.
I got to go to really special things there. And also, like, other times I would get things that were basically all to myself. Like, when I went to a museum with other kids for the first time in kindergarten, I was like, why is it so crowded? I always remember personally.
Yeah, that's crazy, because I remember thinking that, like, the same thing. Like, when I got all my restrictions lifted and I was able to just go wherever I wanted, I was like, why are there people? Like, it was really weird coming out of like a shell of just being so isolated because we needed to be. But it was like crazy coming out of that and being like, whoa, there's like a world out here. Like, it was like, I feel like I was kind of shocked, and like, I never really thought about it like that. But like, now thinking back, I definitely was. So I know that some people, after they come out of transplant, they still have to take some like medications or anything like that. Do you have to take any medications now at all, like anything that still connects you back to your transplant?
I don't have to take any medications right now. I think all my medications stopped within a year after my transplant. By then, I was going to kindergarten, and everything was back to normal.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. I had like a couple, my kindergarten year was like very short. It was on like the tail end of the kindergarten year. But I don't believe I was taking anything, but I'm definitely not taking anything now. Same here. Yeah,
I remember I used to only be able, like, at the beginning of kindergarten, I used to only be able to have bottled water, and I couldn't have tap water until that was, like, the last restriction.
That's, like, yeah, same. Like, that's, like, still kind of, I don't drink from straight up from my sink still. Like, I don't know if that's something, like, that just kind of, like, stuck with me, like, thinking that water is, like, dirty. Like, I don't know if you
have the same thing. I don't do that either.
Yeah, like, I don't know if. Yeah, I don't know if my town's water is good or not. I bet it's probably not. But, I just don't do that. Yeah, I drink a lot. We have a filter, actually, on our sink that filters out, like, puts out filtered water. So I just drink from that. Like, I'll never drink from the tap water, really.
Yeah, I always drink from the filtered water in my fridge. But I never drink from the sink.
Yeah. Yeah. So something that I have recently struggled with is explaining Hyper IgM to my friends. Some of them are like able to grasp it a little bit, but most of them just don't get it. And whenever I mention it, they're like, oh, didn't you have cancer? Like, they can't separate it at all. They don't know like the difference, really. Do you like talk about it at all with your friends, or do they know about it at all?
Well, in kindergarten and first grade, my early years in school, everyone in my grade knew about it. They just thought, oh, he has a disease of some sort. Mm. They probably thought it was some sort of cancer. But then
most of my grade
has changed. So only like my couple best friends have ever known. Like a couple weeks ago, I mentioned it to someone, and they were like, one of my friends. And they were like, what? I didn't know you had that.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
I don't really tell anyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's luckily not no one would be able to tell, which is a good thing. I feel like it's also important to talk about it to spread awareness, obviously, which is why we're here on the podcast, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Some of them just can't get their heads around it. And I know, like, the first time that most of my friends really became aware of it, I think, was at my bar mitzvah, actually, because if for those of you who don't know, at a bar mitzvah, they'll play like a little, most of the time, it's like a thing to play like a montage of like that person's life, like what they've like how they like grew up and stuff like that. And like during the montage and after the montage with like my mom's speech, they came up to me after and were like, "Oh, you, what is that? Like, what is she even talking about?" You know, I don't know if you had the same thing, but that's like when they first were like, what, started asking me about it at all.
Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, I know, yeah. And like, even after that, they couldn't fully understand it. So, they don't need to, but it's interesting that like, we know so much about it and then other kids just can't understand it. And has, like, having hyper-IgM made you want to do anything, like, different, like, with your, like, life or, like, what you want to be later on? I know that, like, we're here now doing this podcast, obviously I wouldn't be here without hyper-IgM, but it's really made me want to push awareness for it. I don't know if you feel the same in any way, but...
Yeah, like, I feel like hyper-IgM changed my life. I mean, it obviously, it wasn't fun, but it also changed my life in a kind of good way, because I'm a different person, and my life has totally changed. If I hadn't ever had hyper-IgM, I don't know what would have happened. It made me a lot more prepared for everything.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely shaped me as a person. I feel like the resilience factor of having to be in the hospital for so long and still try to do everything that we can to just stay positive and like fight through this like super hard time is definitely benefited me in a good way, because now like looking at other things just like school or like life or just in general, it definitely, I think back and I'm like, oh well, I've been through this. This is nothing like this. I can get through this, you know? It really helps me a lot.
Yeah, like in COVID, like we were a lot more prepared than all my friends who like had never even thought this would happen, but we were living like that for years, so we were.
Yeah, COVID, that's a great topic actually with us, because we were in the hospital walking around wearing masks and gloves and all and doing hand sanitizer every 5 seconds and just like,
yeah,
you know, washing our hands whenever we touch a like a piece of dirt. Like, we were used to that. Like, so when COVID started, we just like knew what to do. And like, I know I even had some like old masks still in my house. So like, when everyone was panicking, being like, oh, we gotta go get the masks, like I opened my closet and I'm like, oh, I got masks that were like left over from my transplant. Like, yeah. It was just so, it was almost like deja vu, I feel like. Like, even though I don't remember some of my transplant, I still remember life after transplant with the restrictions. So it was like the same thing.
Yeah. It was kind of like, instead of like, oh no, what do we do? It was like, oh, this again.
Yeah, it was still, oh no, this again. But it was not like, we weren't lost like some other people were. And how much some people struggle making that switch. I feel like we definitely had it easier, which is a good thing, really, because we were able to handle it better. But yeah, and like wearing masks in school, like still felt weird, but it didn't feel as weird as I'm sure it felt for people that haven't had to go through that.
Yeah.
And I know that we both have younger siblings. I have a 5-year-old sister. How old is your sister?
Also 5.
Also 5, right. Okay. Yeah, so does your sister know anything about hyper-IgM, like, at all? Or even have, like, a awareness to it?
All she knows is that I had hyper-IgM. If I told her I went to Seattle for my transplant, I'm not sure she would even like really recognize it. She doesn't really, I mean, I'm sure when she's older, she'll understand it more. She doesn't really understand it that much.
Yeah, and I mean, like, obviously my whole family knows about it, so I don't really throw around hyper-IgM much at home, because, like, there's really nothing left to talk about, you know? Like, we've all been through it together. My grandparents know about it. Whoever might be in the house knows about it. So I don't really think she knows about it at all. I feel like that as she gets older, she'll probably, like, be start, like, realizing stuff, like, but, like, I'm interested to see, like, how that's gonna, like, kind of, you know, how she's gonna, like, think about it. Because, like, they're so young, so, like, growing up, like, we had to grow up with it, but they don't. So, like, I'm interested how they're gonna, like, think about having a family member with it. Like, I don't know if that's gonna be something they, like, yeah, like, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, I feel like. Yeah. And is there anything else that you would like to share about Hyper-IgM? Because I feel like we've covered a ton of really important topics. I think we're almost ready to wrap it up here. So if there's there any closing comments at all that you have?
Well, like I said before, I just think that Hyper-IgM, I mean, it sucked to have it. I would have loved to not have it. But there were also some good aspects that came out of it that helped and helped me throughout the rest of my, through the years.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, as again, as I said before, I feel like it really shaped me as a person, and, like, just how I am just around everybody, and I feel like I just wouldn't be the same person that I am without Hyper-IgM. Whether that's better or for worse, we'll never know. But I just think that it's a really, it's like a core component of who I am now. And, like, I just don't know who I'd be without it, really. Yeah, okay. So I think that we had a great conversation. So viewers at home, if you want to see more conversations, more interviews like this with more Hyper-IgM patients, maybe some that haven't had transplants that are still living with it, just other points of view and experiences, because we're just two people. So make sure to give this as much support as you want, share it around. And yeah, I mean, it's been a great conversation, Idan. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you.
Yes, and I have been your host, Ezra Feynman, and I will see you guys in the next episode.